Good morning. Welcome, everyone. I am Tatanka Bricka, Chair of the KPFK-LSB. I'm convening the meeting of April 12, 2016 at 10:33 a.m. Pacific Time. Let me take this opportunity, first of all, to congratulate ASTEP SWCC on being named Interim General Manager for KPFK. We look forward to working with you, ACE, to make KPFK Pacifica stronger. Would the Vice Chair, Nikki Hahn, please take the roll?
Hi. Sorry, I wasn't prepared to take the roll today, but I can.
Ms. Vice Chair, if you are prepared, would you prefer for me to take it on?
Yes, go ahead.
Understood.
Thank you, Lee.
Rodrigo Argueta. Welcome back to you. Christina Avalos. Welcome back. Marisol Bielma.
Present.
Marisol Bielma, present. Thank you. Tatanka Bricka.
Presente.
Tatanka Bricka, present. Thank you. Rachel Brunke.
I'm here. I might have to get off for a minute. I'm switching to my phone.
Understood. Rachel Brunke, present. Thank you. Nanelle Sateno.
She's asked for an excused absence.
Understood. Ace Estwick is presently off the board. Ariana Gladney. I'll come back to you. Jan, say again.
Jan Goodman here.
Jan Goodman, present. Thank you. Nikki Hahn.
Present.
Nikki Hahn, present. Thank you. Ian Johnston.
Present. Low battery. I may be dropping out.
Understood. Ian Johnston, present. Thank you. Avelia Jones.
Present.
Avelia Jones, present. Thank you. Chipasha Lachembe is requesting excuse.
Hello,
absence. Jack Neff.
No, this is Tatanka.
Okay, so I
Mr. Chair, if you could mute yourself for a moment, please.
Responded. My power has gone.
Mr. Chair, could you mute yourself, please? Thank you. Jack Neff. I'll come back to you. Brenda Martinez. I'll come back to you. Robert Payne. I'll come back to you. Nancy Naparco. Who is staying here?
Nancy Naparco has requested an excused absence.
So she has. Milo Reason.
I'm here, and I believe Robert Payne was trying to speak.
Understood. Mallory's in here. Thank you. Janine Roan.
Present.
Janine Roan, present. Thank you. Lee Thorpe, I am here. Lee Thorpe, present. Oscar Ulloa. He requested an excused absence, to my knowledge. Harvey Wasserman.
Here.
Harvey Wasserman, here. Thank you. Adam Woolman.
Present.
Adam Woolman, present. Thank you. Carlos Zavala.
Bleeping.
Say again. Carlos Zavala, just confirming you're present.
Here, I'm just kind of half awake. That's all.
Understood.
Need another cup of coffee. So.
Understood.
Thank you.
Rodrigo Argueta, I believe he requested an excused absence. Christina Avalos, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Christina Avalos, present. Thank you. Nanelle Sateno, she also requested an excused absence, correct? I'd have to check my notes. Ace Estwick is off. Ariana Gladney. Not hearing.
Hey, I'm having
difficulty
with my phone, so I'm on, but I may end up dropping off because I'm out and about.
Understood. Thank you. Jack Neff. Hearing nothing. I know he joined, but Jack Neff, if I can't hear you, I can't register you.
Here.
I can hear you now. Jack Neff, I can hear you now. I will note that your microphone quality is cutting out. Brenda Martinez, she also requests an excused absence to my knowledge. Welcome back to that. All right. With that, I have registered 16 present. And 4, 5 absent pending excused absence request. So, Ms. Chair, we have quorum and we can proceed.
Tatanka, you're muted.
Sorry about that, and sorry about the interruption. It was one of our guests I had to answer. Okay, I am back, and hold on, let me get this up. Computer is going out. I can't believe it.
Mr. Chair, if your computer is being uncooperative, would you like the vice chair to continue?
Yeah, you know what? I'm back now, just before you said that. I'm sorry. I just froze blanking out here. I don't know. So we've taken the roll. We have quorum, and we're on appointment of interim secretary, is that right?
Mr. Chair. We still need to do a request for excused absences, sir.
Exactly.
Okay. So we do have those 4 requests for excused absences. Without any objection, I would like to hear a complete okay for all those 4 people to be excused. Do I have any objections?
Mr. Chair, if I may be recognized, this is Susan.
Yes, Susan.
I believe that there is a 5th request for excused absence that Lee brought up.
Go ahead, Lee.
I was checking my notes and I couldn't verify.
You cannot verify.
Correct.
Okay, so it's only the 4. And yes, I hear no objections, so let me say that those 4 all have gotten excused absences. And we are now at Landback. Adelia Jones?
Thank you. Landback Manifesto. It is a relationship with Mother Earth that is symbiotic and just, where we reclaim stewardship. It is bringing our people with us as we move toward liberation and embodied sovereignty through an organizing political and narrative framework. It is a long legacy of warriors and leaders who sacrificed freedom and life. It is a catalyst for current generation organizers and centers the voices of those who represent our future. It is recognizing that our struggle is interconnected with the struggles of all oppressed peoples. It is a future where Black reparations and Indigenous land back coexist, where BIPOC collective liberation is at the core. It is acknowledging that only when Mother Earth is well can we, her children, be well. It is our belonging to the land because we are the land. We are land back.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Avelia. I have appointed Interim Secretary Ruth Strauss for this meeting only, and thank you very much, Ruth, for that. We will bring up the interim secretary, how to handle that going forward, a little bit later in the program. Timekeeper, thank you so much.
This is Robert. This is Robert Payne. I'm present.
Thank you, Robert. Did you hear that? Recording secretary?
Network difficulties canceled me. Thank you for your patience.
Okay. Okay, timekeeper. We have a timekeeper present. I'm pleased that Christina Avalos has agreed to be timekeeper. Thank you, Christina.
Hi, Mr. Chair, this is Nikki Hahn. Just making sure, because that was what I was prepared to do, but if Tina's going to do it, was it Chris?
We have two people.
I'm leaving early, so that's fine.
Great. Thank you, Nikki.
Sure thing.
Okay. Minutes. Okay. The reading of the minutes. Nikki, could you just summarize the minutes, please?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Susan Young here?
Yes.
I think it's appropriate. They've already been distributed. I think it's appropriate to ask if there are any changes.
Oh, thank you. Are there any changes in the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is Lee Thorpe.
Yes, Lee.
I made one small minor error. On the first motion, I accidentally put motion passes. On the motion failed. I have since pushed out another corrected agenda minute. But I'm not sure if that was pushed out to the rest of the board. So just that one small issue there. Aside from that, nothing else to my immediate knowledge.
Okay, thank you. And Lee, can you basically tell people if they have anything, how they can go to the minutes and make those later? Because
if you have not received the updated minutes, you can transform the document to a doc file and just quickly edit it. It'll also be corrected on the official website when it is pushed up there.
Okay, thank you. So now we can move ahead. No changes on the minutes. I will approve them. And
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
This is Jan Goodman.
Yes.
Point of order. Could you just repeat the names or state the names of all the people who have asked for and received excused absences? Because
yes. Nancy Naparco, Ninelle Centeno, Chipasha Luchembe, and Rodrigo Argueta.
Did Oscar Ulloa also ask for an excused absence?
Not to my knowledge. Did that come in? Did I miss that?
I don't know. It was mentioned at one point in the we were taking the roll, but then I didn't hear it later. It's just those four. Okay, thank you very much. I just wanted to make sure we had it in the minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Ruth or Lee, do you show any discrepancy with that?
Just for clarification on that, the only reason I brought that up was because when Rodrigo Argueta was making his request, he said we, but he didn't clarify who we was. So I'm going to assume Oscar was included in that. And for the sake of being fair of this, I actually will make a motion to excuse him as well, because chances are he was more than likely meant to be included in that.
I see. Okay. So we do have five. Okay.
But I'd like to make a motion to excuse him.
Okay. I'll second it. Nikki Hahn seconds.
Okay. Any objections? Okay. Hearing none, we move ahead. I am so pleased that Ruth Strauss has been offered to be an interim secretary for today. Thank you, Ruth, and working with Lee Thorpe on that together. Okay, we are now at...
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Susan Young, reading the agenda.
Okay, thank you. The reading of the agenda. Nikki, would you go ahead and do that? Oh. You don't have the agenda in front of you. Is that right?
I do. I can read the agenda.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So we are, we have opening business. Then we move on to, which is 15 minutes. Then we have the KPFK secretary election and voting instructions, 10 minutes. Reports of management and PNB reports, 15 minutes. That includes the ED report, the PNB report and the management report. Then we move on to old business for 10 minutes, 5 minutes of new business, 5 minutes of LSB member community announcements, public comment time certain at 11:30 a.m., and then time certain to adjourn noon or earlier.
Okay, thank you. Is there any objections to the agenda as read? Okay, thank you. Those are approved. And then we're going to move on for the election of secretary. Are there any nominations for others in addition to Ruth Strauss who would like to be secretary and wish to serve?
Actually, can I butt in? I can't. I've said that I would do it till the end of the year, but my profession precludes my being permanent because my schedule might be undependable.
Okay, so you can only do it for this time.
Well, no. I did give Jan a commitment to do it till the end of the year if needed, if you couldn't find somebody, but I can't be permanent. Thank you.
Oh, you can't be permanent after the end of this year. I get that. Okay. So
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Go ahead,
Susan Young.
Yes.
New secretary will be elected to start in January. So through December is the only time that is relevant for this position.
That's correct. Okay. So, any other nominees who want to take on that job?
I'm just going to insert one other thing. Lee sounds like an amazingly professional person. I have not done this, so if somebody would like the position and wants to self-nominate or nominate somebody else, please go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ruth. You will have all the assistance to do this well, Ruth. So hearing none.
Mr. Chair, Ian Johnson has raised his hand. This is Lee speaking.
Okay, go ahead, Ian.
Mr. Chair, I would request that the nomination period be kept open for a few more days since we're not included in Jan's machinations to make.
There will be no slandering of people. There will be no ad hominem. Ad hominem. We don't tolerate that.
Okay,
here,
was that a maneuvering? I don't know.
Yes,
Mr. Chair, point of order. This is Lee Thorpe.
Go ahead. Myla, who is that speaking?
Jan Goodman, may I be heard?
Does Jan.
Yes. All right. Who's
at the last meeting?
Yes.
Excuse me. At the last meeting, it was announced that the nominations for permanent secretary would be open from the last meeting until today. So this was not a machination. It was me trying to recruit somebody, and everybody had the honor and the duty to try to recruit somebody for a month. So yes. This was not some kind
that.
Of machination. This was the last meeting.
That.
I guess so. But it was, that's what happened. And it was in the agenda that was going to happen at the last meeting, that there were going to be nominations for secretary.
Okay, thank you. So
this is the first we've heard of the nomination.
Mr. Chair, let me note that
someone
speaking who was not recognized by the chair.
Yeah, that's it.
I thought I was recognized. You were not recognized.
No, you were not recognized, Ian.
I'll come on. Cut out. Thank you.
Okay. I don't want that to happen again. So just, Secretary, note that that happened. It's happened before. Thank you. Okay. So is anybody else want to nominate? Okay, seeing no nominations, welcome Ruth Strauss. And I believe that there are no objections. Then we're going to go on to point three and point four, the OPA vote ballot. You want to talk about that? You want to talk about that, Susan?
Sure.
We don't have one.
Jan, you haven't, well,
Okay. That's why I asked if I could.
I've been recognized by the chair.
You have not been recognized, Jan. So go ahead, Susan, if you.
Yes. What I suggest, because it's the way that the agenda is written, is that Ruth speak to her candidacy as secretary through December, and that the OPA vote proceeds after this meeting, which permits others to put in their names because OPA vote is listed in this agenda.
Okay. All right. Ruth, are you welcome? And why don't you tell people...
Mr. Chair, may I be heard on the subject? Jan Goodman?
Go ahead, Jan. Chair recognizes Jan Goodman.
Since there's only one candidate, we were expecting more. That was the reason for the OPA vote. Since there's only one candidate, and today at this meeting was the last time to nominate people, there is no need to have a vote.
Okay.
Because there's only one candidate.
Mr. Chair, if I may be recognized.
Yes, Chair recognizes.
I believe that what Ms. Goodman is essentially asking for is approval of unanimous vote.
Unanimous vote by acclamation.
Right.
Okay. So
any objection?
Yeah, I haven't heard any objection. Are there any objections to that?
I object.
And Ian? Okay, note that. Secretary, note Ian's objection. Any other objections? Okay, so it has been, there's one objection. And Susan, I think what we do is we just move ahead now, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. Be it noted, there was one objection for the secretary to note. Okay, reports of management and PNB report. The ED report, I would like to recognize Avalia Jones. And Avalia, you have about 10 or 15 minutes to talk about that. I know there's a lot in there. I want to say something first. Everybody on this board should have read the minutes before you come in. And the ED report we put in the appendix. It's very long and it's extremely informative about amazing things happening all throughout the five stations, all throughout our nation. And the fact that we are here as part of Lou Hill's vision, the founder of Pacifica, starting with KPFA, over 75 years ago, a man who spent 3 years in a prison camp for conscientious objection and envisioned this radio station as being a vehicle for nonviolent peace, peace and social justice. That was his mission. I just want to say that when you read what's going on within our station, within Pacifica, around the country, and it won't take that much, that long to do this, it is extremely inspiring. And so I'm asking Avalia just to handpick a few things in the hope that we will all do that, because we really need to be the calm in the storm of this chaos and abduction and murder and the whole thing that is going on in our nation and in the world. So this, we need to constitute ourselves as a local resilient community like everybody's needing to do to protect the people we care about from ICE and protect from this administration. So in order to do that, we do speak respectfully. We go Robert's Rules of Order. We have disagreements on issues. We vote on them. And then we come back together stronger. So this is an opportunity to educate ourselves to see how we are becoming stronger already. Go ahead, Avalia, take it away.
Thank you. Let me first of all draw everyone's attention to the most excellently written report, this time provided by the executive director. This has been sent to everyone in advance of the meeting and is included also as Appendix 7 of this agenda today. Now, I'm going to attempt to highlight and motivate. In this ED report, we see that there is event planning policy and what is called SOP development, standard operating procedure. There has been an increase in event-related activity across all stations, including in-person gatherings, hybrid programming, Zoom-based town halls, conducted in the name of Pacifica Foundation. While this reflects strong community engagement and mission alignment, it has also highlighted the need for clearer, standardized procedures to ensure consistency, accountability, and risk management across the network. At present, event planning practices vary by station, and in some cases, events have moved forward without fully documented budgets, formal approvals, or consistent application of branding and compliance standards. This creates political, financial, legal, and reputational risks for the foundation, particularly when events involve contracts, fundraising, or public representation of Pacifica. To address these gaps, a comprehensive event planning guide and standard operating procedures, SOP, has been developed. I will highlight parts of it. It includes the event planning guide, SOP packet, and budget template. They are all attached. A required approval process for events. It's a very long thing here. Here we go. Also, budget requirements. Every event must have a documented budget, and the things it must reflect are listed. Branding and communication guidelines. Any use of the Pacifica Foundation or station division name must comply with several elements. They are listed. A Zoom and hybrid event protocol. All technical requirements for Zoom town halls, hybrid events are listed. Contracts and risk management. Events will require several elements. They are listed. Accessibility and equity. All Pacifica events must. And there are several elements to that. There's an event checklist for the pre-planning. Many elements to that one. Legal and compliance, branding, marketing, Zoom, technical. Everything you can imagine. Post-event. All available. Event budgets. How to plan them, how to execute them. Enforcement. Any event held in the name of the Pacifica Foundation, Pacifica Station, or Pacifica Division without proper approval may result in, and those elements are listed. It's a very comprehensive report. It's lengthy. I have spared everyone my reading of it, but it is available in Appendix 7. Please read. Save your questions. I'm sure there will be an opportunity to have them aired and responded to. Thank you very much.
Is that it? You've got more you want to share or no?
I tried to summarize, but I refer to Appendix 7 so everyone can read it.
Okay, cool. Yes. All right. Next. Jan, did you have a report?
Well, I will, as part of my report, just go over a couple more of the things that have come up. We now have found an audit firm that is beginning to do our audit. And so that
has been a big concern for a lot of people. So I just wanted to let people know that the audit is moving forward. And also, very important, we have an appointment of a new national election supervisor, an NES, for the upcoming elections that'll have to be happening this summer. And Anja Lovest has been appointed. And most of us on the LSB will remember her because she came and was at least one of our meetings as kind of a, I don't know that it was called a mediator, but we had a session with her. And so that is the person that has been nominated. And there also have been some general manager has been appointed for both, one for WPFW and one for WBAI. In WPFW, her name is Shayna Lono'aea. That's a Hawaiian name. And at WBAI, Bob Kennelly, who has been the interim general manager there for quite a while, he's been named the WBAI general manager. And as you just heard, Ace Eswick has been named the interim general manager at KPFK. And I think we're going to hear, Mr. Chair, we're going to hear more about that later on in this meeting.
Yes, I'm counting on it.
Okay, good. Okay. And also the news, Pacifica News, has been going forward, and we have coordinators have been named, and they've been, and that action has been moved forward, that they're now going to be doing a five-minute segment in the morning, coordinated by one station, one midday, coordinated by another, and another in the evening. So we're, from my perspective, one of the most important things that Pacifica can do is to have news, honest news, and we're starting that program back up. So it's very super important. And of course, they covered No King's Day throughout the country, including people from all of the stations, newscasters from all the stations, and from a number of our affiliates. And just to remind people, we have about 250 affiliates who really magnify Pacifica's voice. And those affiliates can each download and upload stations from the Pacifica block. And that's called the Global Headline News Service. And lastly, I think it's lastly, that we're in the midst of implementing a Pacifica Foundation team implementation. So people who have been up to this point called volunteer staff or unpaid staff are going to have a new name, and that's called Pacifica Team. And we're in the midst of trying to put together a directory of all of those members of the team throughout the country. And we haven't had a complete directory in the past, and that's caused a lot of problems during the election. So hopefully that is going to be completed in the next period of time. And I think there's a whole nother section about finances and the finances of each station. And if someone wants, we can go over that, but I kind of feel like we probably are towards the end of our time segment here. So I will stop there. And if there's questions for either Velia or I, we'll be happy to answer them.
Okay. Thank you, Jan. And, I want to ask.
Tatanka, this is Rachel. Do you see my hand? It's kind of like a question or a comment.
Okay. Go ahead. I'll recognize you, Rachel. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to say hello. I haven't been here for a couple times maybe, so just nice to be here. I just want to say that I, like, personally, I'm, like, anti-establishment, institutional by nature. But when I read that today, I just really want to shout out all the work that's been done. You know, there is a lot of work being done nationally. And I just, I think it's good, whatever. I don't really have an opinion, but I just want to really, really just say that, in terms of the news, that please, I think a lot of kind of the issues of people who, you know, haven't felt heard or whatever is really international. At least I'm just going to speak for myself, that it's just, please, I implore people to be anti-imperialist, like the founders, of Pacifica were, that it wasn't at the shadow of World War II, it was at the dawning of American empire that Pacifica was founded. So please, let's come from that. And it's not one party, one president. It's a whole system we're up against. And so I welcome the news coming back and to, I hope, participate in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. And I invite you to, during the LSB member community announcements, to come back and talk about other things locally and to repeat that. That's the place for this now. I just want to ask now, thank you for that.
Tatanka, do you see my hand?
Yes, I do.
Hand is up to Tatanka Janine Roan. Thank you.
Just a second.
Mr. Chair, this is Lee. I believe it's Janine Roan, Susan Young, and then Avelia. Correct me if I'm wrong, Susan.
Okay. I'll call on Janine first and then Avelia, and you keep me, on the order of the stack. Janine, I just want to say that this is a time for the board announcements. And so, whatever you have that this isn't a board announcement, but I want to point that out. So go ahead.
Well, I had questions regarding the ED report. So please just let me know when that is, what we can, ask about.
Okay. Thank you. Avelia, next, I think.
No, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Go ahead.
I believe that this is the moment for Janine to ask her questions because it's about the board report.
Okay. The chair recognizes Janine. You have questions.
Okay. Well, a few things. I'll try to go through them very quickly. One, the interim GM that's been appointed, why was there not a permanent GM? I mean, we've been looking for one for over a year. And so I would like to hear anything about that. Second, in the financial reports, there's nothing about KPFK in it, in the ED report. And also, it seems that KPFK has not made their central services payment. So some explanation about that. The auditors that were contracted, I'm curious who they are. It's not mentioned in the report. Also, with Ursula Rudenberg and Robert Henley, I see that they're the startup coordinators for Pacifica News. We have been trying to, it's been very difficult for us here in KPFK to be able to correspond with whoever's going to be doing the news. And it's a large city. So I'm just wondering who for KPFK is our point person, or if the directors can find that out. Also, there's a comment in there about, sorry, I'm getting a call and it's screwing up what I'm looking at. The event planning guide that is being proposed or final, I'm not sure if it's finalized or being proposed, but I wanted to mention we have not had a town call, an in-person town hall. These are the guidelines for an in-person meeting, but I'm wondering, can we start to make plans to do our next in-person town hall? Thank you.
Yes. Okay. I'm not the one to answer most of those, but on that last one, you have the guide to actually start planning that, Janine. That's how I'm reading it.
Well, there is an outreach committee that, I mean, last time it was Nikki and Rachel. So I thought there was a committee to be doing that for any sort of, you know, that sort of thing. So that's why I'm asking. We have that it hasn't been convened in a while. So I'm just putting it out there for the officers should really get started with it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. And really read those things. Susan, you're up.
Yes, just quickly, a few things. First of all, I wanted to just make a correction to Jan's report. The NES has been named, not nominated. The bylaws provide that it is the sole decision of the ED. So that is final. That's one thing. The second thing is, I think that the person who would be able to address things like, participation in national programming, in, the whole procedure for interim versus permanent GM would be ACE.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I want to say is I chair the audit committee and Avelia serves on it. The name of the auditor will not be announced until the audit report is made. And that is because there have been prior insertions from the community and from board members that resulted in the resignation of prior auditors.
Yeah, which was also very expensive. Thank you very much, Susan. All right. We're going to the next.
No.
Oh, pardon me. Go ahead, Valia.
I was just going to try to do a school teacher kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Which was Rachel, with all respect, because I love your heartfelt comment. Thank you. But to everyone on our LSB, please download, copy that Appendix 7, read it. There's no way to fight this, or agree or produce if you don't understand what the structure is we're working with. There's a way to change things sometimes, but please read it before you plan any event and make sure that you can check the boxes. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you, Avelia. I don't think there's anybody left in our stack here. I want to go on with the next item in the agenda.
Marcy Bielmo, I also have my hand up when you get a chance.
To confirm.
Was that Jan?
Yeah, well, Jan, I was going to respond to some of those questions, and then there was somebody else who had their hand up. And how much more time do we have in this segment?
Not much.
We're five minutes over time.
Okay, yeah, we're 5 minutes over time now.
Oh, okay, so then I won't say anything.
Okay, and was there one more that was urgent or not?
Marcy, wish you to be recognized, please.
Who is that?
Marcy Bielmo, wanting to be recognized.
Okay, hi, Marcy.
Hi. Regarding the speaker's question about the general manager, a few meetings ago, an announcement was made how to apply for the position of general manager, and people were encouraged to apply. So I'm wondering if the speaker had a person who was not considered or was bypassed or something, which is why this issue comes up, all the time.
May I address that, Jan?
Yeah, I would like to address it, but I don't want to take too much time or else the next item on the agenda.
Okay, let me just address the issue.
Very quickly.
The pool of people that applied, the executive director did not feel that any of them were appropriate for the job, and that's why we had another interim appointed, and that's why. So she's going to open up an application period again for permanent general manager.
Yeah, and there was
at some point.
Thank you, Jan. Just lastly, before we go on to our next speaker, there was in the last report the numbers of people that applied, where they came, the reason that they didn't go forward. Some didn't want to relocate here. They were from other places. Many of them were very highly qualified and could get, 2 to 3 times the money somewhere else, and for their economic considerations could not afford to do it. So we're in the position of extending it a bit of time. This is an interim position that ACE has been appointed to. And then we'll see where it goes from there. All right, next on the agenda, I want to welcome for a management report, Ace Estwick. Ace, and I've asked you to speak to your vision, your goals, your qualifications, and, you know, what's your next step? And you've got maximum 10 minutes.
All right. I'll try to get to all of that. So good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know, I've been formally appointed by Pacifica as the interim general manager of KPFK. So this is my first management report in that capacity. I will share some of the ideas of where we'll be taking the station, a quick operational update, and then, you know, I think there were some questions as well that I might have time to address. So, KPFK doesn't have a branding problem. It has, in my opinion, a vitality problem. We are one of the longest surviving independent media institutions in the country, if not in the world. Since 1949, hundreds, probably thousands of community stations and alternative outlets have come and gone. And we're still here for one reason only, which is that we've never survived by playing it safe. As was referenced earlier, for resisting war, our founder was incarcerated. For resisting racism, our antennas in Houston were bombed. For resisting censorship, our leadership has been arrested. Those moments didn't weaken us. They brought people in. They built trust. They grew membership. They raised money. And that history is our competitive advantage. But institutions that last don't survive on legacy alone. And our challenge now is evolving without losing our spine. Our FM signal is our backbone. It gives us legitimacy, authority, and trust. But digital is now where relevance spreads, where people discover us, and where money flows. This is not an either-or choice. The radio signal anchors our credibility, and our digital platforms carry it forward. If we don't align those two things, we disappear. Slowly at first, and then all at once. Right now, too much of what we do is disconnected from our most critical outcomes, which are audience growth, membership, revenue, and community impact. This is not a values problem, it's an execution problem. Mission without traction doesn't survive. I'm here to fix that. We have the signal, we have the history, we have the mission. What we've been missing, in my opinion, is someone willing to close the gap between what this station stands for and how it actually operates on a day-to-day basis. That's the job, and I'm ready for it. So, on the operational side, we have two new additions to the team. Casey Adler has been formalized as our events coordinator. We had a real gap in events capacity, and he's already stepping up and managing logistics on major upcoming productions. Also, Dan Pavlish is back part-time as a producer at large. He knows the station, he's experienced, and he adds production and professionalism that we need right now. On the events front, this Friday, April 17th, KPFK is hosting a special screening of Amy Goodman's new documentary, Steal This Story, Please. Amy will be in attendance along with the filmmaking team for a special Q&A and VIP reception. Next month, on May 9th, we are co-producing Samut, a large-scale Palestinian solidarity event at a historic venue in Mid-City. We're expecting 800 people. Coalition partners include Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, Code Pink, Unmute Humanity, and many, many others. It's the kind of event that we believe KPFK should be at the center of. It's anti-war to its core. It's a celebration of Palestinian solidarity and resistance, and community media connecting all of these movements. We'll have labor leaders, authors, journalists, entertainers. So please, we'd love to see you at that. The May Fun Drive is approaching, starts on May 5th. We're building themed programming around Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month and Labor. It's Labor Day is on May 1st. It's also the anniversary of the massacre at Kent State, so we're going to weave in some anti-war and nonviolence programming. The premium strategy will be tighter, similar to the Winter Fun Drive. We're also restructuring fulfillment to try to get donors their premiums faster. And eliminate the backlog problem that's hurt us in past drives. We've also deployed a new online donor platform called Beacon that processes donations through Stripe, gives us real donor tracking, real-time donor tracking, and provides reporting that we have not been able to utilize before. So that went live during the last fund drive, and it performed well, and other Pacifica stations have already expressed interest in following our lead. So everything that I just walked you through is connected. The hires, the events, the donor platform, the fund drive changes, it's all part of the same strategy. It all points in the same direction of closing the gap between what this station stands for and the way that it actually operates. So I'm here to close that gap. That's the job. That's what I've been doing. And the last thing is that this is a new relationship between me and this board. I have sat where you're sitting. I know what it's like to get reports that don't tell you what you need to know or you have questions afterwards. So I'd like to turn this on to you guys. What information is most useful to you for me going forward? Send it to me. I want these reports to be worth your time. Thank you.
And where do we send it? Thank you very much, Ace. Where do they
send
it?
My email address is ace@kpfk.org.
Okay. All right. Thank you very, very much. Myla, your hand is up.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Congratulations, Ace, and thank you so much. I know that we all look forward to working with you and helping the station to survive and thrive. And I love your vision, and I'm going to ask you what I have asked you every time you have given a verbal report. And that is, please, please, please make this report available to us in writing. It would be great to have it so that we can retain it in writing. And I have a question, and that is, will Gary Baca continue as interim program director?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Susan.
If first. I may be recognized?
Yes.
I think this is a personnel matter.
Okay.
Which should not be discussed in open session.
I was just wondering about how we address programming questions. Will they go to the program?
Address them to Ace.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for taking care of that. Ace, thank you so much. I want to go to the next part of our program. I do want to note that we are 5 minutes away from public comment, which is a time certain. And I will note that for those of you waiting, Community Gardens, National Writers Union, LA Progressive, Chicano Moratorium, Get Lit, Words Ignite, Code Pink are all going to be presenting in about 4 minutes. So now
Chair,
it's time to
I
now,
have my hand raised, Janine.
Very quickly, Janine, we also have our time for community announcements right now. So I want to leave
Mr.
time
Chair,
for people.
Mr. Chair, sorry. There was
well, it's in regards, it's in regards to public comment.
Go ahead, Janine.
Well, I'm wondering if these different groups that have been asked to speak here is the time we're giving them digging into our public comment time, or is that going to be a separate 30 minutes for our public comment?
Somebody want to answer that? I'm not quite sure I understood.
We have LSB member community. Oh, this is it under the LSB member community announcement?
Yeah, we announced last meeting that this would be the time for, it's like a beta test. This is the time to have community organizations step forward. People have known for a month and then it was sent out on the air. And so the ones that have responded, we've responded to. And there will be time for people who couldn't respond to go next time, and we will integrate in individual comments at that time. Let's go ahead to thank you for that. Let's go ahead to our
Chair,
last
I'm
thing.
Sorry.
Last thing. No,
that's
I'm
not
sorry.
Answering
I'm
my question.
I'm
so.
Going forward.
Is it digging into public comment time? It's a very clear question.
It's 30 minutes time is the time we're using for community this time. Myla, do you want to comment? And then I just don't want to cut off people's announcements.
Sure, sure. Listen, we actually had a motion about this, and we came to a decision as the local station board. We voted on it, and we voted that we would devote the 30 minutes for public comment to presentations from organizations within the KPFK listening area, and that is what we're doing this meeting.
And okay, and so we've given up our public comment time.
No,
is that correct?
No,
this is the procedure that we adopted last meeting as a board. We all agreed on this at the last meeting.
Okay.
As public comment.
Thank you.
We did not all agree that it was voted.
We did not agree that it was a
real voted. We voted on it. Janine.
Mr. Chair, this is Lee Thorpe. May I say something?
Go ahead. And then
we voted on this matter at the last meeting. It was, if I can pull up the minutes exactly, it was a 12-8 vote. The motion passed. The section, the community announcements, will be taking the public comment section as a beta test, as the chair so noted. Any further questions on this can be easily answered by going back and looking at the motion statement itself.
Okay. Now, thank you very much, Lee. We have 1 minute for community announcement. Anybody want to make a community announcement? Please raise your hand. Yes, Adam, go ahead. Oh, no,
that was just a thumbs up, too.
That was a thumbs up. Okay, okay, great. Well, this may turn out to be fine because it's 11:29. I'm just going to make, if there's no other announcements, I'm going to say, please look at everything that came in your appendix for all the things going on, and don't ignore the events that Ace was talking about, Amy Goodman in town. And I just want to say there is so much going on quietly among a number of us on membership, on community outreach, and on fundraising. So I'm looking forward to next month announcing what we as a local station board are planning for the rest of the year and for everybody to know about that. All right, 11:30, time certain. We're now pivoting on over, and I want to welcome Stephen Meeks of Community Gardens, Ismail Parra from National Writers Union, Sharon Kyle from LA Progressive, Miguel Lopez from Chicano Moratorium, Brian Sonia Wallace from Get Lit Words Ignite, and Marcy Winograd, or someone, is it Marcy? I just can't, or another person to talk about Code Pink. The protocol here for the timekeeper is that we have 5 minutes each. Oh, here comes Marcy right now. Okay, great. We have 5 minutes each, and you're going to get a notice, a note from the timekeeper, Nikki, at 4 minutes, a 4 minute notice, and then at 4.5 minutes, please just finish where you are at right now. And so we can introduce the next speaker because we have 30 minutes and I want to have everybody, including the last three, you know, to be able to have their full time. So thank you very much. And first person up we have is Stephen Meeks with Community Gardens. Take it away, Stephen. Are you here?
He may need to be unmuted.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me fine.
Yes, can hear you, Stephen.
Great. And I have to apologize. I'm on a train, so if there are announcements, I'll try to hold for a moment. I'm part of a community garden called the Goodhood Community Garden, which is located near Lafayette and Jefferson, in kind of Central LA Mid-City area, not far from the Crenshaw area, at 5540 Bowden, B-O-D-E-N Street, 90016. And the garden was started under a Tom Bradley initiative, Mayor Tom Bradley. And, you know, that was back in the mid-70s when he was elected to several terms. And this initiative had to do with LADWP property, transmission line property that was not being used. And he started this initiative to grow food on transmission line property. So that's how the garden started.
local station stops. Currently, we have about 16 minutes. And those 60 members pay a nominal fee that's basically for water and liability insurance. How is the sound so far? Can you hear the background?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm sorry for that. And the 60 members have very small to large plots. And we have classes in several aspects of gardening, when to grow, water usage. We are a compost hub, which means we accept vegetable waste and we turn it into treasure, which I call black gold, to help organic matter. Adding organic matter to our soil. And you know, one thing I will say, when we have such large concentrations of people and it takes a lot of infrastructure to supply the needs of people, and I'm talking about large cities, it takes a tremendous amount of resources to do that. And that's when corporate agriculture, agribusiness comes into play. And often, large corporate agriculture wants to do it the easiest way. So they want to get rid of weeds. They want to get rid of pests the easiest way. So what do? They rely on harmful, toxic, poisonous herbicides and pesticides to do that, not to mention commercial fertilizers. So that is one reason a lot of us that are gardening advocates prefer to grow our own food. And we do it without the use of harmful chemicals. And it's very important to know that people that grow their own foods in a micro sense.
4 minutes.
Most people love doing it because it's so peaceful being in a garden atmosphere, being in a community garden, and there are dozens and dozens in the county of Los Angeles, and I would say possibly over 60 or 75. It's almost like being in the park because you're surrounded by the things you like, plants and birds, bees, and so on. And this is one thing that people are so passionate about when they grow food. Getting their hands in the soil to grow. And our garden is part of a larger network of about 50 gardens that come under an umbrella of the LA Community Garden Council. We have a teaching garden next door, LA Green Grounds Teaching Garden under Florence Nishida. And
5 minutes.
It's just a wonderful experience.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry. Thank you, Stephen. We've got to go to the next person. Thank you. We look forward to more of that. All right. National Writers Union, Ismail Parra, Smiley. You're up. And then please, oh gosh.
Mr. Chair, stand by. I'm trying to identify who the speaker is, aside that's on the mic.
Yeah, that was the speaker. That was Stephen Meeks.
Understood.
Okay. Go ahead, Ismail. National Writers Union. He was here a moment ago. There you are. Smiley, you there? You need to unmute.
Testing, 1, 2.
You got it.
Okay. My name is Ismail Parra. I am with the NWU. The National Writers Union is a labor union and advocacy organization for freelance and contract writers in all genres, media, and formats. In our ranks are university writers, photographers, poets, filmmakers, playwrights, journalists, computer code writers, book authors, legal workers, community working class poets, videographers, and other creators. We represent workers that work for different or several employers, freelancers. Our chapter here in Los Angeles has about 100 people, and 10% are active on our expanded steering committee. Our belief in social justice is reflected in our National Immigration Working Group and our policy against all deportation. We support the closing of the detention camps set up by ICE, and we are a declared sanctuary union, and we believe as policy in amnesty for all as a resolution to the instability of millions of immigrants currently living, working, studying, contributing, and paying taxes in our country, and even serving in the military. We have a national position asking for the removal of Cuba from the president's state sponsors of terrorism list, and a chapter position asking for the return to Venezuela by our government of kidnapped President Nicolas Maduro and First Lady and elected deputy Celia Flores. We have recovered hundreds of thousands of dollars in stolen wages from our members. We have been instrumental in passing freelance isn't free laws in New York and in Los Angeles and Chicago. These laws take the form of contracts backed by the cities and are agreements between freelancers and employers that our members and others will be paid in a timely manner, and that in the case of scoundrel employers, our members have a way to recover their wages, as well as a clause that prevents employer recrimination enforced by fines on employers if they attempt to put our members on don't hire blacklists. We do community events and member improvement where we showcase media workers that wish to present their work to the public. We also have meetings where our members share their works, and our NWU member audience provides feedback and input for the presenter to improve their works. We are connected with our media organizations, with other media organizations such as the International Federation of Journalists. We are able to issue press passes, including international press passes, to our qualifying members, which allows them access. One of our members has a regular program on KPFK, and I myself have been on the local station board in the past. Thank you for your invitation to participate today in this manner and for taking an important and bold step, in my opinion, to reach into our community in Los Angeles and beyond and purposely create the ties that are going to be necessary to defeat the threat to our democracy and to push back in unity and restore the current damage that has been done by MAGA to so many aspects and services that our tax dollars pay for and have provided, and that are currently being lost in plumes of smoke from U.S. bombs in foreign countries, causing misery to humanity and to different cultures through which we learn so much about one another. This is some of what the National Writers
Union... 4 minutes.
And we are interested in exploring ways that KPFK and Pacifica can be of service in making known to our listeners and to your listeners across the country, the existence of our union, locally and nationally, and its protections for our members. And lastly, we hope you will help us build the May Day First activities, especially those sponsored by the County Federation of Labor here in Los Angeles.
30 seconds.
Occur at MacArthur Park at 10 a.m. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ismael. That was positively inspiring. And people feel free to show your love with visual things when, you know, some of you have been doing it. It's really appropriate. Okay, next up is, I don't see Sharon, but do we have a representative for LA Progressive, Sharon Kyle, or whoever is with LA Progressive? Is that Nancy?
This is Sharon Kyle.
Oh, great. I missed you, Sharon. You're up.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Take it away.
Thank you. Thank you so much, KPFK Local Station Board, for giving community activists and community organizations an opportunity to talk about what they do. I've already learned a lot from Stephen Meeks and from Ismael Parra, gotten information that I probably would not have had it not been for this local station board providing us this platform. So the LA Progressive, a lot of people, there are familiar names. I can see familiar names in the chat. Many of you know about the LA Progressive. We are a daily digital political progressive magazine founded by myself and my husband, Dick Price. We have been up and running for almost 19 years. It's unbelievable, but it's every single day we get up and we curate content. We publish original content. We are active on all social media. That includes TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter, Blue Sky, YouTube. If you go to the LA Progressive website, you'll see in the menu that runs along the top, our link tree, and it gives you a list of all the spaces where you can find us out on the internet. Like I said, we publish every day, and early on in the publishing of the LA Progressive, at times I found it really emotionally heavy. And so as a result, we also created a companion website called the Hollywood Progressive. And what the Hollywood Progressive does is it shows the connection between how arts and resistance can work together. The LA Progressive and the Hollywood Progressive are about social justice, and the LA Progressive really puts a focus on the centrality of race, because our racial divisions in this country, and our opinion, and from the work we've done in the 50,000 articles that we've published, it tells me that the divisions that have happened along racial lines are the ones that are most difficult to pull together. So our goal is to bring everyone together along racial lines, and we can only do that by centering race. The other thing that we do is we host an annual event called the Left Coast Forum. The Left Coast Forum is an opportunity for people to come together actually face to face. So in October, we will be at Cal State LA. We haven't finalized the actual day, but we've already secured the location. And we are anticipating that we will have, perhaps with your help and with all other social justice organizations coming together, we're hoping that we could get at least 1,000 people. Our goal is to transform awareness and to develop many more opportunities for solidarity. The LA Progressive exists because we care and we believe that democracy is more than just voting. But speaking of voting, we issue a voter's guide, and I'm in the process of developing that, and we put special focus on the judges. Every 2 years we have judicial elections. And so I've been in the process of interviewing judges and learning as much as I can so that we can share this information, which is one of the areas in our election cycle that we know the least about. So thank you, KPFK Local Station Board, for granting the LA Progressive an opportunity to talk about what we do and how we serve our community. And we look forward to participating in this way in the years to come. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Great report. Great publication. You know, with those of us that don't have much time, I mean, that's one that I never miss. Always open. Always go online or in my computer. Thank you. Next up is Chicano Moratorium. Now, Miguel Lopez said, no, all I need is, oh, there you are. Fantastic. You're up, Miguel. Welcome from Chicano Moratorium.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time and space and all of you the work you do. We are all in line with the work that KPFK does and what they promote on the radio station. The 50th Chicano Moratorium Committee was formalized in 2020. August 29th, 1970 in East LA was one of the massive anti-war demonstrations in which the sheriffs, murdered a journalist named Ruben Salazar. And we, on an annual basis, just a collection of people had annually gone and just every August done something to commemorate or remind everybody and educate people about what the moratoriums were about, what anti-war movement is about. And so on the 50th anniversary in 2020, we formalized it with the name 50th Chicano Moratorium Committee. And our mission is basically the same. Every year in August, we hold a big event to educate people on what happened in the past and what's happening today. And interesting enough, I'm a multi-hat activist dating back to the 60s. And my experience has been that we were against the war and we fought for it, and we're still fighting against war. To this day, the U.S. imperialists have continued their bad habits and behaviors of trying to colonize other countries, capture the resources, and control the world, basically, on so-called on behalf of the American people. So we're in line with all the folks that are anti-war. In fact, our main mantra is education, not war. And so we've partnered with the community colleges to address this issue on that level, which is the group of people that right now, recently, the federal government has just announced that they're going to have people start filing, being forced to file the Selective Service again, something I went through as a 17-year-old. And so I haven't stopped. Aside from the fact that I'm the chairperson of the 50th Chicano Moratorium Committee here in Los Angeles, I'm also the president of the Southern California Teamster Retirees Association, an association that's been in place for 56 years, since 1970, also under the largest joint council of the National Teamsters Union. And we represent over 130,000 workers under the joint council organization and the local unions. So I'm very active on that level, also promoting anti-war and education and good work and good wages and things like that. So it all fits together. We're all on the same path. I feel comfortable discussing this with all of you directly, because I can hear everybody is on the same page pretty much. We're back to the process of building coalitions. We are a member of the May Day Coalition in Los Angeles. We have been for a number of years. We participate to help outreach and gather people together. May Day is a very significant time for us. The 8-hour workday, you know, International Workers' Day. Most people in the world celebrate it. Of course, in the capitalist nation here, they didn't want us to do that, so they created Labor Day. So we decided we'll celebrate both days. Always get an extra holiday, right? We're good for that. So our membership are a lot of veterans from the movement and the anti-war movement. Some of them are actual military veterans who are against the war.
4 minutes.
Many students. And we go back to the times of the walkouts in the Chicano movement. And we gel with whoever is about social justice and whoever is about shutting down these operations that are oppressing our people. So we're all about justice for all. And I really appreciate the time that you give us. We look towards KPFK to help us continue to promote our educational efforts.
Thank you, Miguel. How inspiring. As a Vietnam war resistor, I never felt more free as when I knew I was going to be headed to jail for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling. And all the organizing that's gone on. So thank you for your work. Before we get to Get Lit Words at Night with Brian Sonia Wallace, is Marcy or a representative here from Code Pink?
Yes,
oh, there
I'm
you
here.
Are. Fantastic. Okay, great.
Okay,
I see
thank
you,
Tatanka.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Brian Sonia Wallace, take it away with Get Lit Words Ignite.
Thank you so much, Tatanka, and thank you everyone for the work that you're doing, and it's just so inspiring to get to hear about it. My name is Brian Sonia Wallace. I'm the former poet laureate for West Hollywood and actually was one of the presenters on KPFK for Poets Cafe for a number of years. So love the station and the work that you do in storytelling around activism. And I think that's really the the heart of it. I'm here representing Gitlet Words Ignite, which is a 20-year-old organization focused on youth literacy and activism. We do spoken word with really like 3rd grade through 12th grade students. Our big event is coming up this coming Friday, the Classic Slam at LA Theater Center. We've got 20 schools competing, and I just heard the teacher strike is off. They reached an agreement, so big sigh of relief for me. We've got buses of kids that should be able to come, and we're not going to have to wrangle parents into driving. But really excited to be talking to KPFK and getting to meet folks, you know, like LA Progressive. Sharon, the work that you're doing is so inspiring. We have kind of a home team of about 20 young people who come and write with us every weekend. And then we're in about 50 different schools across the county, getting youth voices to write, to share, to kind of get their points of view across. So would love to bring that to the station, would love to bring that to publications. If any folks have events, we bring our youth as speakers to some of those. And I'd love to, in the spirit of that, give the rest of my time to one of our students. Earlier this year, we ran a youth poetry contest called If I Awaken in Los Angeles. We had about 1,000 students from across the county submit poems. So I'm just going to play you about a minute of a poem from Daniela Lagos, who's a student at Stella High School in Inglewood. And yeah, I hope that you enjoy. Let me see if this is an option. Oh, yeah, here we go. We can even share the screen so you can see her. This is Daniela.
They build our skyscrapers, green our lawns, and yet they cannot think back, not even a thank you. They are the dog working 100 miles an hour just to stay afloat, to keep us afloat. Because what is Los Angeles without its beautiful gente Latina, without the people whose dreams work like a 7-Eleven 24/7? I would just watch the dog sliding through the water so calmly, yet full of dreams. Dreams in which you are the main character. If I awaken in Los Angeles, I want someone to know the working feet are their surface. This is the life of our pillars, the ones who give up their goals for us to live the so-called American dream. But who am I to tell you the type of person you should be? So I say, what would be of my beautiful city without its people? Nothing but a garden without its flowers. Thank you.
What would you tell a man who can...
Fantastic.
Wonderful.
That's Daniela Lagos. And yeah, would love to stay in touch with anybody if you're interested in bringing youth poets and their voices. Would love to make that connection. I just put my email in the chat. It's brian@gitlet.org. And I'll give you your time back. Thanks so much, KPFK.
Thank you so much, Brian. Wow. Took me back to my 3rd grade class, 67 to 69 on Soda Street in East L.A., and I was working with these kids, and they were the stars of the school. So thank you. All right. Next up is Marcy Winograd, Code Pink. Take us out, Marcy. And we'll milk the last minute all the way through to time certain. Okay, go.
That was good. Thank you, Tatanka. And thank you, a local station board at KPFK and KPFK for platforming Code Pink Radio. I'm so honored to be with all of you heavy lifters. I'm very grateful to Sharon, Kyle, and Dick Price for LA Progressive. Everybody who has preceded me is doing such fabulous work with writers, with gardeners, with poets, with the anti-war movement, the Chicano Moratorium. So a lot of you are familiar with Code Pink. We organize, I'm a volunteer. I'm actually the coordinator of the Drop the ADL campaign. That's the Anti-Defamation League. It's an anti-Zionist campaign. Code Pink began in 2002 in the run-up to the occupation, the invasion and occupation of Iraq. The name of the organization, Code Pink, was created to satirize the Department of Homeland Security's color-coded system of threats against the United States. And since then, we've developed a number of campaigns just to review them quickly. You know, we have the Justice in Palestine campaign, No, China is Not Our Enemy, War is Not Green, Drop the ADL, and we have a vibrant Latin America campaign. What are we doing? Well, we are primarily about education, also advocacy, but primarily education. A lot of our support, most of our support is domestic, but we do have a lot of support abroad in Europe as well. We have a bases out of Cyprus campaign. In the United States, we've been leading flotillas or part of a coalition, organizing flotillas both to Gaza and to Cuba. Medea Benjamin, who co-anchors Code Pink Radio with me at times, she went to Cuba. She's been there many times and organized this delivery of about, I think, you know, just a tremendous amount of medicines and medical equipment. In addition to that, in Los Angeles, twice a week, we have a Code Pink chapter that organizes demonstrations in front of the Israeli consulate. That's Tuesdays at noon and Fridays at 4 p.m. So if you're around, do join us. We also do a lot of education. We have a summer series coming up that I'm organizing, Challenging Zionism in Our Schools. Some of the guests include Adam Sanchez. He's one of the editors of Rethinking Schools, a fabulous magazine. Also Colette Kavanaugh, the education coordinator for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. Emea Gelman, she has just written a book called The ADL and the Racial State. And her ambition is to make sure that the ADL is no longer a partner with educational institutions. Those are some of the things that we're doing. I'm sure some of you have seen on social media the disruptions in the hearings on Capitol Hill for some of these cabinet nominees. And, of course, this disruption when Trump and Rubio, I believe Hegseth was among them, went out to dinner in D.C. and a group of Code Pinkers confronted them. Trump is the Hitler of our time. So that's an overview. And, you know, I would love for people to check out the website, codepink.org, and see what interests you. We also have the local peace economy campaign. And earlier I heard Stephen talk about the Gardens Project. I think that would be a wonderful way for us to plug in Los Angeles if that hasn't already happened. And I do want to invite people to listen to Code Pink Radio at 6 a.m. if you're up on KPFK. Next up, the last few episodes have focused on the flotilla to Cuba, the Center on Conscience and War, which is led by Mike Preisner and talks about how people can become conscientious objectors. And coming up will be a look at Rachel Brunke's Cold War Truth Commission. She's an amazing activist in the harbor. Yay, Rachel. And, you know, what can we learn from the Cold War? How cold was it? Not very. And why are we still engaging in this Cold War today? And what lessons can we take forward? So that's a brief overview. I don't know if you have any questions. We have chapters across the country. Our most vibrant chapters, I would say, are Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York. I'm on the Central Coast of California, and we're organizing here as well. We do support we try to bring our messaging to these indivisible vigils. You know, we're a 501c3. We're not overtly political in that sense, partisan, but we do bring our anti-war messaging to rallies where there are millions of people. We think it's very important. So that's it in a nutshell. Code Pink.
Thank you so much, Marcy. I've been in so many cities organizing, and you're the most creative people I know in certain situations. You do just amazing things. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to thank Stephen Meeks, Community Gardens, Ismael Potter, National Writers Union, Sharon Kyle, LA Progressive in Hollywood, Miguel Lopez, Chicano Moratorium, Brian Sonia Wallace, Get Lit, Words Ignite, and Marcy Winograd, Code Pink. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much. We have hit time certain. And so my name is Tatanka Bricka. I'm chair of the local station board, KPFK. The time is 12:01 p.m. Pacific time. And I call this meeting adjourned. And Myla, take us out.